One, two, three, talking to your mic.
Hello, hello, one, two, three, four.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, are we doing, is this?
Yeah,
I don't like that intro. That intro sucked.
See, I think that's something to do with either your headphone or the, let me move this, with the XLR
cord. We're having technical difficulties today.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
Maybe we'll go with that first intro.
I deleted it.
Hello, everyone. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day. I don't know the rest of the song, but welcome to episode 12 of the Not All Here podcast. You know what? The way that intro started, the way that I felt like this episode is going to be. It's just like a lot of like, hey, we're just freestyling it.
Just awkwardness.
Yeah, a lot of like just random. But hey, there might be some like gems in here.
Genuine, that's what we do, man.
It'll be genuine, like funny moments. And that's so right. Welcome to episode 12 of the Not All Here podcast. It's your boy, Easy L.
I'm Jettison Bombardier.
Welcome, man. We hope that you guys had a great weekend, and we hope that this week right here that you're playing this, whenever you play it, we hope that you have a great week. But anyway, this is episode 12, man. This is a little bit more of a freestyled episode just because we're just trying new things, and you know, who doesn't like to try new things?
I can't wait. Or we're already doing it right
now.
Yeah,
so I guess it's right here. You can't wait for people to listen to it.
But I don't know if people know. I feel like me and you are opposite. Complete opposite.
Yeah.
Because I'm someone who doesn't like plans.
Yeah.
I would literally wing everything. And yeah. You're someone that's very like plan oriented.
You know this about me from the simple fact of, what is it? When we were trying to schedule. No, you kind of saw this firsthand when I first scheduled and planned out the OnlyFans video, like the music video.
Be sure to tell people that's a music video.
That's a music.
You're scheduling your OnlyFans content.
Exactly. No, it wasn't like that type of OnlyFans. It was for the song that I was on there, and it was Reloris. And so, but like when it comes to certain things, I'm a very much of
Like you still weren't super clear. You dropped a song named OnlyFans.
Well, the only reason why it was called that, because then we have the discussion where it was like...
No, I'm just saying that for the people in case they don't know.
Oh, my bad. So, OnlyFans is a song that I'm on, as well as Reloris.
Yes.
And we shot a music video that came out like last year or whatever, it was to a song. Because at the time, like OnlyFans, the site was popping. Mm-hmm. It was like people were going on there and people were like, oh, shit, there's a lot of crazy stuff. And it's so funny now that
that's what happens on OnlyFans? Crazy shit.
But also, you know what's funny is that's what people know it for, but that's not the only thing that goes on in there.
Right.
There's actually like normal things that go on there. Because there are people who do like normal things. Mm. It kind of reminds me of Patreon a little bit,
right?
If you know that. And so Patreon's just like another thing where, now that I think about it, Patreon is kind of like OnlyFans too, like the website.
I don't know if you can have, can you have nude content?
Yeah, you can actually, now that I think about it, I think there are like people who, they might not have nude content, but I think they do scantily clad type of content.
How would you feel if you invented a platform, right?
Uh-huh.
You created something. It was your creation, something you love. And then it just got like invaded by porn stars, but became super popular.
Now, if my objective was for it to not go that way, I might feel a type of way.
So you would feel a type of way.
But like after a while, you're kind of like, well, to be honest, you know, isn't it going to be making you money? Like, isn't it make you like thousands, millions or whatever? I would feel weird about it. But I think I'd probably get over it quick once I see the money coming in.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the flow.
You know, but what was I saying? Oh, to go back to getting back to the main point of it, I'm very much of a planning person. So for the music video for the song that we shot, I planned it out, and like Jetty knows firsthand, I was like, all right, look, I had a shot list. I had like a scene list. I had all these things. Shadow. I had all these things like just planned out because I like, that's just how I work when it comes to projects, or that's just how I work when it comes to music. And that's just how I am. And versus like, I'm trying to think of like the perfect example that I can think of for you is like, for those who don't know, the singles that you've just recently dropped,
right.
Like the photo shoot that we did, you were like, all right, we're just going to go find some places.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, find some places. What you talking about? We got to like plan this.
That's my life, bro. I think the reason I do that is because all my best moments and all my best memories are kind of just winging it.
I get
that's when like shit feels natural to me and stuff just happens in a good way. Just me personally, I feel like when I plan out shit too much, it never goes well or never goes as expected.
I get that. I think for me, the reason why I plan so much is because of how prepared I like to be for things. And like my brain, like literally, I'll tell you, like my girl will tell you, like when it comes to situations, I've analyzed anything that can and could happen, you know, and occasionally there'll be times where I'm like, okay, I didn't expect that to happen, but I was prepared for it just in case it happened.
Do you have like stupid conversations in your brain? Like,
oh yeah, all
like,
the time.
Like if I'll say this and this person will say this and this and this.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I hate that.
I have stuff like that.
And I try to turn that off. I can't even turn that off sometimes.
I mean, I get it. I think for me, it works well for me just because like I think it has to do with me being in control and, you know, and like I like to if I can have control in it and sort of steer things in a certain direction, then I will. You know, go. I will do what I can with my power to make sure that it goes a certain way. You know, and sometimes there are times where like I just have to let it be, and I get irked sometimes. But I'm just like, whatever. It played out like how it was supposed to play out,
right?
Type of thing. So, but that's just the type of person I am. Because I remember we were trying to schedule. What was it? A perfect example of my control is when we were trying to schedule the music video for Building. Remember, and you were like, do you want to tell people what your plan was for the music video?
I mean, my plan is amazing. We just didn't do it.
Like, oh, the plan was to go into a mall with a big ass speaker, just play the song and then wrap it as long as we could before we got kicked out.
That's amazing. I can't, let's do it.
And like I was so irked and so like, oh no, this is so like, what is it, uncomfortable, but there's another word for it. It was so, oh, for me, I felt very cringy. Like I was like, oh, I don't want to be in that situation.
I know.
But I mean, I see from your point of view of like how that could possibly be like a real popular video and it take off because of all the controversy and security guards being like, hey, get the fuck out of here.
And then if when they try to kick you out, you just try to keep recording it.
Exactly.
On your way to the exit.
That gives me early like Jackass vibes when they were like going places and then they were like, what the hell are y'all doing here? Get the fuck out. You know, they were kicking them out or whatever, security or just even people when they skate, like skateboarding, people are like, if they're somewhere they shouldn't be, people are like quick to be like, you can't do that here.
Did you ever try doing Jackass type stuff when you were a kid?
No, because I don't like getting hurt. I was never like, I seeing them was enough for me.
Me and my friends did. We did some wild stuff. Okay, so do you see that chair right there? That chair is old as hell. I had that chair in college. And we took that chair and there was this big ass hill. I'm talking about like big. And we sat in the chair and we would roll down the hill. And at the bottom of the hill was, it was like a road. So there could have been like cars coming. You could see. But we used to roll down it and we didn't film any of it.
Wow, y'all just did it for the fun of it. Just for the hell of it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's wild.
And then at the end, you would be going so fast that you would hit the curb and you would just go flying.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And then y'all just, that's so crazy because that, it's like y'all were just doing it because y'all were having fun and shit.
We didn't even film it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Y'all might have gone viral, bro. You could have been part of the Jackass crew.
I know.
That's wild. But it's super crazy. But yeah, I've never been into, I will say I was never into like doing stunts like Jackass people, but the second closest thing that I used to do, me and my little brother and like our friends in the neighborhood that we lived in growing up, we would wrestle on a trampoline. And so like we would actually genuinely get hurt sometimes because of like we would put each other in, you know, the figure four leg lock or we figure or like crippler cross face or whatever. What? The, you know, Chris Benoit, the dude who actually
crippler cross face.
Yeah,
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's basically like this weird thing where you're pulling back on the face of the person and they're like necks being pulled back and it's really bad. And like we would try to like powerbomb people, suplex people. I remember one time we were like having a wrestling match and a friend of mine came over and like we were just, you know, not really hitting each other. We were just faking it. And then like I remember he suplexed me And then I got up, and as soon as I got up and turned around, he was diving at me, and he like tackled me, and then like we were like midair, and then fell off. And in our yard, there was like this hill, this like small little, I guess you could say it's like a little molehill or something. Uh-huh. It was real small, and then like we just bam hit the ground. And then as soon as I hit the ground, I could hear crack, crack, crack on my back, and I was like, "All right, I don't feel good, but." But yeah,
other you had a trampoline?
Yeah, we had a trampoline.
I never had trampoline.
Yeah, it was super fun. Now I don't. It's so funny now though. I don't feel safe getting on them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're a grown up.
Being a kid, you were just like, yeah.
You don't have a reason to get on one as a grown up.
There was one time though. I will say, you know, so on most trampolines, they have not. I guess tarp is the word that covers the springs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we got to a point where the tarp was gone.
Oh.
And I remember one time we were just jumping, and what people tend to do on trampolines is they'll put their weight together so it can bounce the person higher.
Uh huh.
So one time they did that, and I went up and I came down, but I was going towards the springs, and then what ended up happening was one of my legs went through the springs and I was leaning over.
Ugh.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, help! It was real bad, but now that I think about it, I mean, maybe I did do jackass shit. I just didn't do shit like they did, you know.
I can't picture you doing jackass shit.
Nah, like not anymore. Like, well, no. And sometimes I just felt like I couldn't be bothered. I was just like, come on, man, what are we doing? So right. I was never like that.
Did you ever see the Wild Boys?
The Wild Boys, was that them when they were in the jungle?
Yeah, it was Chris Pontius and Steve-O. It was like Jackass, but with zoo animals.
Zoo animals.
In the wild. It was amazing.
That's interesting.
I love that show.
I think I watched some episodes, but I just never got into it. Because I was just like, animals? I don't want to see these animals.
You don't like animals?
No, bro? I do. It just didn't seem as dangerous, even though it probably was more dangerous. Yeah.
Bro, they would put like attach raw meat to themselves and then go out and walk besides like lions.
That's wild.
And the lions would like grab them and grab the meat.
Man, that's
crazy.
That's really crazy. Cause I remember they had that and then they had what? Nitro Circus.
What's that?
Remember, you don't remember that? That was like another rendition. I don't think it had some people who were like cool with the Jackass people and the Wild Boys people.
Oh, I never heard of that.
And
it was on MTV?
Yeah, it was on MTV. But it was people doing extreme stunts. So, like, people that had, like, you know, motorbikes or whatever. And they would be doing flips into this, like, you know, big sea of foam or, like, the ocean or over shit. It's kind of like Evel Knievel type shit.
What?
Yeah. And that was, like, a thing. And I think some people got really hurt. But other than that, yeah. That was something. I never got into that either, just because I was like, this isn't exciting to me. But
bro, what excites you?
What excites me?
Yes.
That's a good question. What excites me? That's really interesting. Damn, you actually are stumping right now, because I'm trying to think of what excites me.
How can you not think of anything?
I guess just, I mean, no, well, no, my bad. What excites me is like when somebody who's really good at something does something. For example, like I watch jazz piano players watching them play. I'm just like, yo, holy shit. How do you get your hands to move like that?
So I asked what excites you, and your answer was jazz.
Yeah. Like people, you never seen somebody who's been so talented and so skilled at something like that?
I know what you mean. I'm just trying to make a joke.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. People who like make music. I'm trying to think of, damn, man, because that's actually a really good question.
Bro, you need some excitement.
Well, I think
2021, you need to jump out of an airplane.
No, I'm never doing that.
Bro, I would love to go skydiving.
We don't belong up there, bro. We don't.
Hey.
I will say, though, I did want to do that at one point, uh-huh. But my fear of the parachute not coming out always would pop up. Yeah. You know, I think that's almost everybody's fear. They'll be like, okay. But I know when you do shit like that, you're with like a trainer or someone who's more experienced with you. Know?
I think your first time you have to be like strapped to someone's back.
Uh-huh.
But then your second time,
I'm okay.
Solo it.
Yo, I can't imagine the adrenaline.
I would love to do it.
Have you ever had a moment where you had like, you felt like you've had adrenaline running through you?
Yeah, I can't think of,
Cause like, I'm trying to think.
I know when I played basketball, when I would go in the basketball games in high school, my adrenaline would be going crazy, and then I would fucking suck when I got on the court because I'd be too nervous and too adrenaline.
Yeah.
But
That's interesting, because I think I was trying to think of something. I know of two moments where I had adrenaline running through me, and like I was aware of it. One was when I got into a car accident. I was in Texas, and I was actually, me and a friend, we were going to see Jameson. He's a singer. And him and this girl Rochelle Jordan, super dope. And we were driving, and I had like this Hyundai Elantra. People were like, I don't know what the fuck, it don't matter, it's just the car I was driving. And we were going to our hotel real quick before we went to the venue to go watch him. And we were at a four-way intersection. We had the light to go, and this family of this man, husband and wife, and then they had a little daughter in the back. This dude was driving, and he thought he could make it while we had the light, because, you know, he had like a blinking yellow light. And so he stepped on the gas trying to beat us before we got to the intersection. And then we ended up just like T-boning him. And so we hit him, and then like real quick, I was like, oh, and then like I blacked out real quick. But then I woke up, and then I was like, oh, shit, what's going on? You know, I was trying to get be aware of what's going on. Situation was the car on fire and shit that time. And then when I first performed out here in Atlanta. And so, like, because I think I had this conversation with a friend of mine, who I told her, when it comes to like performing, like the artist side comes out. So the like everything leading up to the performance, when I get on stage, I'm always like, shit, like, you know, it's kind of like, I imagine it's kind of like when you were about to go into the game,
right.
Playing basketball. You're like, all right, I gotta go in here, gotta perform, gotta do these things. And so I did that, but as soon as like they announce my name, like the artist side comes out, like it flips. So it's like this character almost. And then like now this other side that doesn't really come out unless it's I perform comes out. And I can feel the adrenaline of making sure that I get everything right. You know, I'm singing on point and I'm doing all these things. But other than that, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever, maybe when I got ran over when I was a kid, but but I just felt like I was more scared than I had adrenaline rushing. But yeah,
his mom ran him over.
Yeah. If you don't know, like some episodes ago, it was one of my not out here moments when I was like younger. I think I was like either 11 or 12 or something. And I was sitting on the back of.
It'd be funnier if you were 18.
Bruh. They'd be like, you are really dumb. But but I was sitting on the back of a van that had a door that I didn't realize was unlocked as she was backing up. And I sat on the ledge of the back part. Held onto the door handle, fell, and my legs were right where the tires were, like my thighs and stuff. And one of my thighs got, or both of my legs got ran over. It was fine afterwards. My mom was like, "You idiot!" and then slapped me across the head and like, go take a shower. Yeah, she's like, "Go take a shower." I was like,
clean
"Yo,
clean that bruise off,
bro." I kid you not. After I might have been in the shower like crying, like ah, but then like literally like an hour later, I was like, "All right, what are we doing now?" It's so wild. So wild what our bodies can go through.
That is hilarious.
The pain and shit. What was I going to say? So like when you perform, like I remember when y'all performed at the 808
right.
Wave, the showcase.
Right.
Like how did, like, did you have adrenaline rushing through you then?
So that night I intentionally got so drunk that it wasn't even a worry to me. Now was that our first performance or our second performance?
Might have been your second, I
think. We performed at A3C. That one I was nervous as fuck, and that one felt weird.
Oh, that's right.
That one didn't feel great.
That was right, because I remember that was before like we got in. And so, where did y'all perform? Do you remember?
Is it the Earl?
That's the place. It might be the Earl. Was that over on the east side?
Yeah. So the first one felt really weird to me. So on the second one, I intentionally got very drunk.
That's hilarious.
And the second one went great. So
that's so funny.
Yeah, but I think I'll be better now. I don't know, man. I was just I'm not good in front of crowds. You know how kids have problems with like public speaking and shit? That was me. Like
I'm
not good with that shit. So that is like an adult version of that to me. But really, I just kind of got to get over that shit.
I feel that. I think one thing that helped me in like my performance or just really anything was, so in high school, I was one of them dudes that I used to write poetry a lot, and then I would recite it And so I would do that. But like I had the issue of I would never look at people as I was reciting it.
Bro, were all your poems sad?
No, they were actually some of my poems were very like really mellow, chill, upbeat. And it was always about women, you know, talking about.
I was going to say, that's why your music is so sad. You have a sad soul.
No. It was just about like women and like because I grew up as a side note. So my mom raised me for the most part. My pops dealt with a lot of issues. He came back later in my life, but my mom is the one who raised me. And she instilled it in me at a very young age to treat women like queens, like treat them like, you know, you need to treat a woman right type of thing. And I was like, okay, I carried with that. But like, so most of my poetry was about, you know, romantic shit, you know, romanticizing like a relationship or like, you know, doing all these things that you see in movies, you know, that women, how you should treat a woman type of thing. And just being smooth, because I feel like a part of me is as like chill and sad boy music as I make. There is a side of me that's very smooth. But besides all that, I would go to a lot of poetry events, like poetry slams. And I would like randomly, what I would do is I would actually spit songs. So, but like I would spit them in poetry form.
When you say spit, it makes me think of a rapper.
No, exactly. So, because initially I rapped before I started singing. So I was a rapper, like, and I would rap in English and in Spanish. And wait, so,
how old?
This was like 16.
You were rapping in high school?
Yeah, I was rapping in high school. But like most of the shit that I did, I kept to myself because I was like kind of very shy about sharing it. You know, and that's how I am even to this day. Like sometimes I don't share a lot of things until like I feel like they're ready for, you know, everybody else. And some are like, you know, with y'all, you know, I'll play beats or whatever that I made to see what y'all think or whatever. But I think when it comes to songs and like actual singing and words, like I hold on to it because I have to like analyze it and be like, OK, is this ready for public consumption? Is this like something that people would vibe to type of thing? So,
yeah.
But because like how early did you start like doing music?
So I started producing like way back, like even in high school, I got MTV Music Generator and just started messing around with it. I don't know why. I don't think I'm like a musical person, but I loved making beats. I loved creating. Then in college, I got FL Studio and I went to college for art. So I was drawing, but then at night I'd be creating music. So I was always like creating. And a lot of times I'd be doing music more than the art I was going to college for. So just producing for years and years and then, you know, trying to be a real producer, trying to get placements on albums.
Yeah.
And all that eventually morphed to where I am now. I didn't really want to be an artist, like to be a rapper, because I had tried it before and I didn't think, you know, I was good at it or I didn't like it. Never turned out how I wanted it to turn out. But I like where I'm at now. You know, it's all kind of morphed into what we're doing right now.
That's so interesting because I think because you said MTV Music Generator. That was like, wasn't that on like the PlayStation?
Yeah, it was on PlayStation.
Yo, it's so funny.
You ever played it?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I liked it.
I just didn't know how to like use it. Like,
it was a little complicated.
Yeah, but what's so funny, it reminded me of, so when I was on tour with Crit, I had asked Crit, I was like, what's the first thing that you ever made a beat on? And he said, like, the Music Maker thing. And he actually sold beats from making stuff on there.
On MTV Music Generator?
Yeah. What? And I was like, yo, what the hell? Like, that shit's, like, wild to me. Because, like, funny. I think I played with it, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, but I just couldn't really understand it. And so, like, my first genuine exposure to, like, being a producer was FL Studio. And, like, I remember because what would happen was, like, everybody at our high school, there was, like, a group of producers, and what they would do is they would go into what's the name of this? It's like some economics class that had computers and access to the internet, and they would get cracked versions of FL and put them on every single computer
on the computer at school. What? Oh,
and that's so, fire. And so what would happen was they would just be on there like making beats, and then like I would listen to them and I'd be like, yo, how the fuck did you make that on there? And I would make like my own things or whatever, and it sort of opened the gates for me trying to like understand like how to like actually put a song together or how to put a beat together. Cause there was this one dude, I think, I can't remember his name, but there was this one dude who he would purposely remake beats. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah. you know, whatever popular song was popular at the time, he would remake the beat, and like, he just knew how to do it. And I was like, how the fuck did you do that? Like, I don't get it. And so I would try it, and all my shit early on was trash. Okay. It was garbage. But I think that's like everybody for the most part. But
my beats were so trash.
Right. Oh, it, you ever seen that meme where it's like a, what is it? It's like a producer meme where it's like got an accordion horns and all these.
Have you ever had a friend tell you your stuff is trash? Because most friends won't tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be like, oh, yeah, you know.
I think I never had someone tell me that it was trash, but I did. They did tell me, like, that ain't it. But, like, you know, not, but in a respectful way.
Right.
You know, or they would be like, they would hear some other shit. They're like, yo, this shit actually sounds okay. Right, you know, right. When they were like, okay. And then, what is it? Like, it went like that for a little bit before I started to actually, like, pay attention to how other people made beats. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is how, you know.
Bro, I had a friend just be like, hey, yo, that's trash. Like, what? Because most friends, they try to, like, avoid it. They try to be like, yeah, man, keep going. Or, you know.
Yeah,
I
mean? Yeah, yeah.
I had one friend who was like, hey, that's trash. Like,
that's hilarious. But you need people like that sometimes, yeah. You know. Because if not, you'll run across people who, like, nobody's ever told them that they need to work on that shit more.
People think they're amazing.
Yeah. And they're like, this is like my shit. And like, it's not hitting at all.
And then they also get this weird thing in their head where the world doesn't respect them and they are amazing.
Yeah.
Because they're putting stuff out and it's not doing what they think it should be doing. Yeah. And then they get mad at the world.
Yeah.
So don't be that guy.
Yeah. What usually helps with that is like being around people who are better than you. Like I remember when I was making beats, like later on in life, I want to say like when I was in college, I started to hear what other people were making. And I had a friend, Sean Fresh, who I listened to his music and I was like, yo, your production is crazy. Like whoever makes your beats, like he had people like who were had more experience in the game and shit. And then like eventually later on, like I met DJ Burn One and I would listen to his shit and I was like, how does your shit sound so good? Like I didn't understand. And then what I purposely did was I was like, I'm gonna hang around, you know, people who are better than me so that way I can get better. Because that was like a big gem, or like just a good tip. Because like, and I would ask him questions like, yo, how did you get this to sound this way? Like, how do you, you know? And then I did my own research on, like, when I was by myself, of like looking up on YouTube, like, how do you play, you know, this type of chord? How do you play this type of genre? And so on and so forth, to like develop shit. And then also look to people who I looked up to in music as an artist. So I'd be like, what is theirs to sound like? And then try to be like, okay, how can I make that mine? So, but that's so funny. But yeah, people are like that. Sometimes people feel entitled. There's a lot of people in the world like that. But man, sometimes you need to get shit on, bro.
You gotta get humbled real quick.
You gotta get humble, man. Like I'm trying to think of even when I was doing poetry and shit, there I would get like humbled super quick from other people who were like doing it longer. I'd be like, god damn, this motherfucker, I'm over here putting like these little metaphorical bars in my poetry, and then this motherfucker come in and he's over here dropping these fucking things that I don't even understand.
Bro, they got poetry battles?
Hell yeah. Man. Isn't that what a poetry slam is? People just going at it?
I know nothing about that world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but that's how people are. It's the same way, like, I guess it also depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, it's the same way if you're trying to be like a lyricist in the game,
right?
And then you listen to people who are actually doing that shit. Mm-hmm. So not just like battle rappers, but like, you know, like a Nas or a Jay, you know. Or if you go into the MF Doom realm, RIP, but like you're like, damn, I, you know, you're trying to make like witty shit. Even Lil Wayne, like even though I wasn't a big fan of Wayne, like even his shit was like, oh, yeah,
he puts words together well.
Yes, that's a simple way to put it. He puts words together really well.
You know something?
What?
I've never heard an MF Doom song in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, I apologize to all
Wow.
the...
Wow. Bro, we're stopping the podcast right now. All right, y'all. That was the podcast. We hope you have a good day.
I've never heard one in my life. So you got to tell me what's the best song I need to go listen to.
I'm going
to
say there's a few of them. Because I actually was like a big Doom fan. Mm-hmm. Because I loved... Like, he was different, and I could tell he was different from everybody. But I also understood that he wasn't for everybody. Mm. You know, he was really for, like, those, like, rap heads, right. like, who were into it. I want to say you got his album that he did with Madlib called Mad Villainy. Mm-hmm. On there, you got, what is it, Accordion. That's a classic. Rhinestone Cowboy. That's a classic. What is it? I hear you in the background whenever I call. Is it Clown? I think that's Fancy Clown. That one, that's like super hard. I mean, some of the ones that people really know him for is what's the name of that fucking record? He sampled Sade. It's like Operation Doomsday. That's the name of the album. But it's like those are like some good ones to start off with. But he's got the thing about him, bro, is that he has like this aesthetic, you know. Well, I don't know if you probably don't know this. He had like 13 different aliases.
When when the news came out that he passed away, uh-huh. I was looking up stuff about him, and I noticed that he was a bunch of different. I guess when he collabs with another producer, they would come up with a different name. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So like he did some, well, of course, a Madlib, and I'm trying to think. He did some.
King Ghidorah.
That's King Ghidorah, right? Yeah, that's him. Hmm. And King Ghidorah, you got King Ghidorah,
Mad Villain,
Victor Vaughn. But the reason why he did all that shit was because he used to be in this group called KMD. And it was him, his brother, and I think another friend or something. Then what ended up happening was, like, they were kind of buzzing, but his brother passed away because I can't remember exactly how, but he passed away. And then the label that had them dropped them. And then he kind of felt like they did him wrong. And so what he did was he was like, you know what? I'm going to become a villain in this rap industry. Mm. And so he's like, I don't like this. So then that's when he started like wearing, before he put on that, like that silver, that metal mask, he was wearing like these, like pantyhose, like, what? Yeah, these like socks, stockings or whatever, when he would like rap or whatever.
So he was rapping before the mask.
Uh-huh. He was rapping way before. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yep. And so, but what was crazy about that story too, is like, he passed on Halloween. People are like, man, that's the most doomed thing you could do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he passed away like 2 months after the announcement.
I saw that, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I will say, though, he's not for everybody. He doesn't make it like your typical like song, right. You know? He's in that abstract realm.
He's like Earl Sweatshirt's father.
You know, it's funny. I've never heard an Earl Sweatshirt song.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard him.
I know he was a big fan of Doom. Yeah. But like that whole, what is it? That whole Odd Future... It's like, dang, I never got into him.
He got like some dope lines, but his shit is too abstract to me. Like his new shit is like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's very abstract.
Is he like abstract? Does he make like songs where he has hooks and verses?
No.
No? Oh, okay, so it's just him rapping.
Yeah.
And okay.
And when I say abstract, it's like the beats. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like.
Doom is kind of like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time. But that makes sense, because I was going to say, too, because, like...
You ain't get hip to the whole Odd Future stuff?
Nah, I liked them. I did not like them.
I liked them.
I was like, oh, they're doing all this shit for attention. And I thought it was kind of, like, whack. I'm not going to lie to you. Because before Tyler, the creator, where he got to today, I did not like him at all.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like...
I was a fan.
I didn't like what he was rapping about. I was just like, this dude's shocking to be shocking, you know?
Yeah, it's just like weird, young, angry energy.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of, bruh, so do you
ever, like Tyler now?
Yeah, Tyler now, he kind of like blossomed into this new artist. He actually, like, to me, like...
I love his album before the one he just, Flower Boy. That album. That album's fire.
That's like another one. I think he was like, you know, coming into his own self and like, what is it? Like really like standing out as an artist. But I think, cause he had a song with Kali Uchis, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, but before, like when they were all Odd Future, I was just like, I wasn't a big fan of it. I did like Frank Ocean though.
Oh yeah,
Frank Ocean was super dope because I could tell like he was like, he was trying to be like a singer.
Dude, one of those guys is putting out fire music. Have you heard of Domo Genesis?
Oh yeah, so he was a part of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's fire, yo.
That's wild. I did not know that. I thought he was just another dude that was rapping.
Unless I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Let me do a Google real quick. I don't like being wrong.
But yeah, like Odd Future and stuff, like it was kind of weird, but I mean at the same time when I think back to it,
you like the internet.
Internet is cool.
They came from that.
Oh, did they?
The girl, she was in Odd Future. The girl.
I didn't know that.
She was the DJ.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, so Domo Genesis, he was from Odd Future. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's really wild. Excuse me. But I think early on I wasn't a fan. But that's so crazy that they all came from that, because then they kind of remind me of the new group, what was it, Brockhampton?
Yeah,
they kind of remind me of them.
Yep, they do.
You know, with a big ass group. But that's so interesting because like super groups like that remind me of like the Wu-Tang, except I mean Wu-Tang was just rapping, you know.
Yeah,
they weren't like saying the most outlandish shit, but that they were dope. Going back to like the Earl Sweatshirt thing, I remember I used to be a big fan of Lupe.
Lupe
Fiasco. And I loved his Food and Liquor. I loved the original Food and Liquor. That's how much of a big fan I was.
The one that leaked?
Yeah, the one that leaked. Because that shit was crazy. Because it leaked, a lot of shit changed. And then the Cool. And then after that, to me, he kind of dipped a little bit. Because I guess he had issues with his label and whoever he was signed to and shit. But like, I was, for a minute, I was like, yo, this dude's it. Because he was like, rappity rap. He was like rapping. And but then like there was some shit I never really understood of what he was saying. I was like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, it's very dense.
Very, very. Like you had to go to Harvard to like
to understand. You ever see somebody like breaking down his shit?
Yeah,
there used to be these threads where people would like
this is what he's saying. Shit.
This line actually talks about the Chinese Revolution in 1600s.
It's like the what's the website that breaks down lyrics?
Genius.
It's like Genius before Genius.
Oh yeah, yep.
That's just hilarious.
Lupe was the origin of Genius.
Man, him and who is it? Like sometimes Royce da 5'9" would have lyrics. And I'd be like, yo, this is crazy. Like, and I wouldn't understand that shit, but. It's so interesting. I'm trying to think of, did you have any like guilty pleasures like that you would listen to?
Music wise?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was into some weird shit. There's this group named Air.
Air.
They're like this French group. I don't even know why I like them, but they dropped this album called Safari Moon. And it's just weird. Some of it's French. It's not even American.
Is it like in psychedelic rock type of room?
It's like slightly that, but kind of pop.
Okay.
Synth. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of. Guilty pleasure.
Yeah. I know for me, like, I grew up listening to a lot of hip hop, a lot of rap. Of course, Latin music. But I really loved the 80s a lot. Like,
I might be the only one, but I'm not crazy about 80s music.
Man, like,
I hate the kicks and the snares.
I could definitely see that, like, why people wouldn't like that, because they sound so industrious, big-ass reverbs and shit.
Yeah,
I don't know. But I love the 80s a lot because of, like, all the synths that they would use, and it sounded so, like, futuristic to me. And
I'm a 70s guy, because my dad used to play nothing but classic rock. He's still into it this day. Every time I go home, it's these TV channels we have on the satellite where they just play like old rock, and he'll just sit there and watch these channels.
Wow.
Yeah, with just like concert footage and just like 70s shit like all day long.
That's crazy. Because I listened to a little bit of that. Not like when I was young, but when I started to get older, because I used to work at a radio station, and I worked, it was a sports radio station.
You
but right.
At a radio station?
Uh-huh. I used to work at a radio station.
Right.
It was in Arkansas. And so, but the radio station, so I was like the person who worked the boards. So sometimes they would have live shows, and I would be the ones with the levels taking like, hey, you know, thanks for calling such and such. What do you want to talk about? Okay, just hold, no cursing, and then put them on hold for the person to accept it.
What?
Yeah, so I did that for like 4 or 5 years. And then even before that, in college, I had my own radio station with my best friend, T-Rose. What? And like we had our own station where we played hip hop.
What was it? Internet radio?
It was not really internet. It was like you could only listen to it in the car type of like, or like if you had an FM radio.
So it was actually broadcast that you could. How did y'all do it?
It was in the school. So oh, like
it was the college.
Yeah, it was a college radio.
So did you only have it for like a certain time?
Yeah.
Okay, that's dope.
Yeah, and but the reason why I worked at the other station was because the dude who was over the college radio station, he saw how much we loved doing it, and then he was like, "Did y'all ever think about getting into it?" And I was like, "I'd love to get into this." And then he wrote me a letter of recommendation to go work for them the other people, but. Well, I say all that to say because I worked for this sports talk radio station. And so sports was always going on. But then in two other stations, they had pop rock and rock music. Mm. And then they had jazz. So, like, I would be over here working the boards for a show. But then after the show was done, I would just have to stay there till the next person came. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what they do at a radio station is they were like, if it goes offline, it's just dead air and you need to fix it. And so I would fix it. And then they would always play Stairway to Heaven all the time. And then they would play like all these different just like rock music and stuff. And like I would listen to that just like because you can hear all three playing. Mm. And I'm like, oh, this sounds dope. And it got me into like more rock because I think early on. I think when I was sampling, I was big on like heavy of sampling as a producer. I went and found shit about like psychedelic rock, like, you know, Pink Floyd in that area, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix and like that rock. And what is it like a bunch of other people. And so my music ear just started widening up.
Why'd you quit working at the radio station?
Because I moved here. So. And so I moved to Atlanta. Oh. And so. Because I was actually trying to work out a way. I was like, yo, can y'all help me get a job in Atlanta at a radio station? Do y'all know anybody?
Yeah.
And they didn't really have any ties in Atlanta. Damn. And so I was like, damn, man, I'd love to keep working at the radio station because it's so much fun, you know? And then I think I applied for some radio jobs because I'd be like, hey, I got 4 years of working boards. Mm-hmm. And then nobody would give me a chance. And I was like, man, fuck. So I was like, all right, whatever. Yeah.
How we doing on time?
Oh, we're at 41 minutes.
Dang, we're doing pretty good. Yeah. All right, what's the worst job you ever had?
Oh, the worst job. I can think of one. Let me make sure that... I think the worst job... I'm going to say two. There's two. One is when I was in Arkansas. And one was when I was first moved to Atlanta. Mm. You might know the second one because I remember talking to you about it. But the first one... I did this very stereotypical thing of when I first got out of, was it high school? Oh yeah. Right before I went into college, I worked a construction job. Fucking hated that job, bro. Because this is what we would do. I would basically be part of a cleanup crew. Mm. And so, you know, you clean up all like any tiles or material that's just whatever. But we worked at a school in the summertime.
Yeah.
And it just sucked because working in construction, they were doing insulation. And so you've seen pink insulation before.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. And so it would get on me.
Stuff's terrible.
And you'd just be scratching all day. And the only way to get it off is taking a cold ass shower.
Oh my God.
And I hated it. And like there were ways to try to fight it. Like you had to put baby powder all over your exposed skin. So that way you didn't deal with it. But it didn't really help too much.
Yeah.
But I hated it. And that's like where a lot of wild shit happened. That's why one of my not out here moments was with the going to the trap house.
Oh yeah.
One of the dudes worked there and I didn't realize that we were going to a trap house. It was a trap house in a nice neighborhood though. And then the second job that I really hated, that I actually quit was I used to work at an antique shop.
That one? You hated that one?
I hated it because of the owners.
You always have funny stories about that.
Bro, like, so side note, I'm not going to say any names because I'm trying to keep, you know, identity secret. So the dude who owned the shop, the shop used to be in Midtown. It was like making a lot of money and shit. He was married and shit, but then he had an affair. But he had an affair with his babysitter for kids that he already had with the babysitter. So then got divorced. The wife took half and he moved the antique shop like further down south. And so I would work there, but he was very old school and he was with the woman that he had an affair with. And like, they basically were running the shop. And it was really bad because it was a lot of labor going to places, like moving antiques, taking pictures of antiques. And he couldn't, we really couldn't connect that much because he was very old school. And he'd be like, all right, you know, I need y'all to work an extra 4 hours. And I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, no, I'm as soon as I'm here for this time and I'm done. Right. That's how it is. And then I remember I left and then he got upset that I was leaving. And he started like, I told him I had another job lined up and he was like, this was wrong with you millennials. He's like, you guys don't know how to put in hard work. You guys don't like to put in time. And I was like, get the fuck out of my way.
I agree.
He's stupid.
Can't put in an extra 4 hours of work? God dang.
Look here, you little youngage. You guys don't know how to put in a little extra hard work. Come on now. My mama used to whoop my ass 12 times a day.
I mean, that babysitter did look good, bro. I mean.
But it was just real wild. It was the coworkers there. They were cool. Mm. But like, bruh, it was so like soul killing, like soul crushing type of job. So what about you?
I have two. One of them is soul crushing. Mm. The worst job I've ever had in my life. It made me depressed, bro.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because, it was in North Charleston, which is kind of a bad area.
Uh-huh.
And it was Dial America. I'll say the name. Do not ever work for Dial America.
Dial America?
Dial America.
What the hell?
I was a, like a phone job, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't think of the right terminology for it right now. Uh-huh. My mind's blanking. But I worked for a company called Newfic. And if you Google them, the first thing that comes up is scam. So it's basically a supplemental insurance company that would try to screw people over.
Okay.
And it was my job to answer the phone calls of people trying to cancel.
Yeah.
And it was my job to turn them around.
Mm.
And if you didn't turn them around, then, you know, you don't do good. And, you know, the boss fusses at you.
Yeah.
But it's people, you get calls from people all over America that are sad, people that are in fucked up bad situations.
Wow.
They're tight on money. They don't want to pay for this.
Yeah.
And then you have to convince them.
Wow.
To spend their money on something that you know is a scam and fucked up.
Wow. That's crazy.
I had like people call me on the phone like crying.
Whoa.
Terrible job.
That sounds like horrible to be there and still be like, okay, but you should buy this.
8 hours a day to just have to put up with that. I remember seeing a guy there and he was on some kind of pills or something. Uh-huh. And he offered me a pill and I was like, nah, bro. He's like, hey, yo, you need this to do this job.
Wow.
I'm like, nah, bro, I'm good.
How long were you there?
I was there for maybe like a year.
Damn, man. A year of that shit?
That was like the roughest part in my life because I had other stuff that was all going down.
Yeah.
I was super sad at that time. And that job did not help. That job was terrible.
Damn. When you quit, did you just quit on the spot or you put in 2 weeks?
So I put in a 2 week notice.
Uh-huh.
And then because I moved, I was living with a friend at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he had a girlfriend and then they were getting married. So they were just kind of like, hey, you got to go. You know. It was like, wow. Hey, they were going to get a new place and then so then I moved to Florence. I put in a 2 week notice. Funny thing is I tried to get unemployment.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, oh no, your place of employment said you were no call, no show.
Wow. I'm like, what?
I literally gave y'all a 2 week notice. The place was so fucked up and not well run. And I literally gave them a piece of paper that was a 2 week notice, but,
wow. That's
I remember in the day, in my last day, I was like, all right, y'all, you know, thanks for, you know, it was nice working here. Bro, then that Monday, they called me. They were like, where are you?
Wow.
I'm like, yo, I put in my 2 week notice. They were like, oh, okay.
And then said, all right, bye.
Yeah.
Damn. And then went to go crush another person's soul.
Yes.
Damn. And you said there was a second job?
So my other job, this one's much more fun and better.
Okay.
This job. 50% of it felt like love, you know what I mean?
Okay,
It was amazing. I worked at a dog boarding kennel.
Dog boarding kennel,
but
okay.
The funny thing is, people would pay extra for their dogs to play in this pen, like this big-ass area.
Yeah.
So I would go out there and be with the dogs, and for 30 minutes, it was awesome.
Oh.
You get to play with these dogs, you know, you see the dogs having fun.
Uh-huh.
But then for the other 8 hours... you're just sitting in a fence with dogs.
What?
Bruh, I would just, you go there, you basically make sure no one gets hurt.
Uh-huh.
No one escapes. And everyone minds themselves, but you're just in, and there's even a video camera.
Okay.
Where the owners can go watch their dog play.
Wow.
But there needs to be like a human there to like look over it. So
yeah.
I would go and sit in a fence with dogs for 8 hours a day.
Wow. Just sitting there?
Bruh. So, you know, doing music and stuff, I stay up late at night.
Yeah.
So there'd be days where I'd go in, and when you're sitting in a pen with dogs for 8 hours a day, you get bored.
Yeah.
And I'd fall asleep. But people would call.
Wow.
And be like, hey, he's asleep outside.
Yo. They wouldn't let you catch some Z's.
And then they'd come. And then the owner of the company would be like, hey, you can't fall asleep in the pen.
That's a really weird job.
Yeah, bro, it was so weird. I'm not going to lie. 30 minutes every day, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I'd play with the dog. I had dogs that I liked. It was like, hey, how you doing? And, you know, But
that's why I would think that you would just be there, and then because like being in a kennel for that long and just sitting there or just being there, I can imagine how boring that is. I would think that they'd be like, you got a desk, go be at your desk and then check in every now and then type of thing.
Nah, you got to be out there with the dogs.
That's weird as hell.
It was.
That's really weird.
It'd make you go crazy, yo.
I bet. Just sitting there and you're just like, well, there's no like, sure, it's nice to be around dogs, but then after a while, you're just like, all right, where's the entertainment? Like, you know, after a while. That's really
and
well.
It was in the summer too.
Oh boy!
I mean, the summer and the winter. Imagine it's 30 degrees outside.
Oh my god!
And you're just standing outside for 8 hours a day with dogs.
How long were you there?
Maybe like a year.
Lord.
Or during the summer. Imagine it's like 95 outside.
Jesus Christ! You're braver than me. I couldn't do that job. It's like I always tell myself one of the jobs I would never work is in the food industry. I'd never worked there, and I've never worked at one.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
It's just like, it's such a, I feel like they should pay people who do that more, because that same thing with like the trash company and shit. Cause like some of those jobs, bro, somebody got to do them, but Jesus, they need to be compensated.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. All right. And then since, you know, this podcast has been a little freestyle, but we still wanted to do something that we usually do that Jetty does, which Jetty, you said you wanted to drop off some news.
Okay. So. I didn't even research this, and I'm not 100% sure this is true. So maybe we got some fake news.
Okay.
But we got something.
All right.
Okay. I saw this. It looks like it's real. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Capitol Police arrest Virginia man with fake press credentials, firearms, and 500 rounds of ammo at inauguration checkpoint.
Damn.
So the inauguration's coming up. And apparently, police caught this one guy that was maybe going to try to wild out on Inauguration Day.
Yo, that's wild, but yeah. I'm not surprised.
It's posted by the Shade Room.
Okay.
I guess they wouldn't post fake shit. I don't know.
Or they would at least correct it if it was fake. That's wild that shit like that. People are so serious about that. They like can't let shit go.
Yeah.
That's really wild.
It's going to be interesting Inauguration Day.
That's actually... What's today? We're recording is the 17th.
Isn't that the 19th or the 20th, right?
Yeah. So then by tomorrow, when this comes out, it'll be like, I think it's the 19th, I want to say.
We'll talk about it on our next podcast, I guess.
Hopefully. I hope shit don't pop out. Yeah, I'm tired of all this shit.
It's
just smooth. Like I said on a previous podcast, just do it through Zoom. No.
Nah, don't give in, bro.
Don't give in to them.
Stand strong.
Don't give in to them yellow bellies.
This ain't Trump's America. Yellow bellies.
isn't that like something for like someone who's a coward, like a yellow belly? That was like a real southern country thing.
Sounds racist, bro.
It might be. But what about people who have you never seen those skin not deformations?
I know what you're talking about. Jaundice or something
like that. Yeah. So there, people are like, that's for us.
Yellow fever.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Let me think. My not all here moment. I didn't even think of one.
Now we're gonna do a not all here moment.
Yeah. No. Like how you announced that now we're going to do a not all here
now,
moment.
Not all here.
Now, not all here.
Would you like me to go first and then you try to think of one?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
Okay. Mine, it's not a pretty one.
Oh, boy.
It's pretty ugly.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I want to start this out by saying I'm not a guy that sends random dick pictures, okay? That's where I'm gonna start.
All right, that's the one important there with the little star.
I don't just see a girl and then just send her a dick
picture. Of course.
But I have sent dick pictures before.
Wow. You know I'm learning things I don't want to learn.
If it's requested, you know what I mean? So I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
This particular time, it was requested.
Okay.
Okay. So I was actually at work.
Okay.
But I sent one. I already had one in the chamber. I didn't take the picture at work. I already had it in the
way you said I had one in the chamber. It was, I just had this specifically one because it looks good. The lighting's perfect.
I already had one. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It was prepared. It was ready to go.
Yeah.
So it got sent right on my cell phone.
Yeah.
So I sent it.
Okay.
You know, so I go back to work. Now, this was a call center. Right?
Okay.
That's the name of the job I was trying to figure out earlier.
Call center job. Gotcha.
So anyway, my manager comes behind me and he's like, hey, can you show me something? You know, blah, 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 blah. I don't even know what he asked me, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember, but it was on my phone.
Oh,
and he was literally right over my back. And I had my phone and I was showing him because it was on my phone.
Uh-huh.
So I pulled it up. I opened my phone and then just bam, my dick's just right there.
He's like, whoa.
And I immediately was like, this is, you know, tried to get it up.
Bruh, but the damage was done.
I mean, and I was like, oh, and he didn't say anything, but I know.
But you know, he's just like,
He was just like, damn, bro, you just looking at this here at work? Like,
yo.
So it was a little awkward, you know, because what do you even explain that? Do you just be like.
I kind of feel like it's one of those things that. You both know, and you kind of just be like, let's forget that this happened.
But I wonder if he thinks that I was like Googling.
Oh, if he thinks that wasn't yours and that was somebody else's.
I don't know.
What would be funny if he was like, that's a pretty good one. Like,
but
I'd have been like, yo, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, and then I showed him whatever I needed to show him.
Yeah.
And that's my not all here moment.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Not my proudest moment.
That's funny. Now I got to think about mine. Let me see. Of all the mistakes I've made in life, all the lessons I've learned, I'm trying to think of a not all here moment. I feel like we should end with yours because mine, I don't think it's going to be as good because that one was actually a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Let me see. Because I know for me, I don't believe in sending that stuff. So I don't do that.
Never sent one.
Nope. Never
really,
sent
never.
One. Never sent a dick pic in my life.
Dang, bro.
Ever.
You got exclusive dick.
Of course. That's how I feel. This is really, really random. I feel like when it comes to shit like that, like that's very, you know, it's very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you send it to the person that you're with or whatever, but I don't do it because I'm very secretive and I'm very like, well, no, there's a time and a place for things, and the way technology works, no, I just don't trust it, you know.
I feel you.
And so, but it's just not my thing.
I guess maybe I'm a little more
adventurous. No.
Yeah. Spontaneous.
Which is fine. Hey, to each their own. Yeah. Some people like vanilla, some people like chocolate. It's that simple, you know? So, my not here moment. Oh boy, it's a college experience that happened. So, when I was in college, as I think most of us do, maybe not everybody, but most of us, you know, we like to drink, have a good time, chill with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was with my good friend T Rose, my best friend, and, we used to go to another campus that was literally maybe like 15 minutes from us.
Yeah.
And it was a school where a lot of smart people went. And so because it was kind of an exclusive school, but they would still party.
So your school was for the dumb people.
Yep. I was in the dumb school. Dummy. No. But like they were kind of like the a little bit more, and they were pricier and shit. So. Okay. And they kind of went through like this process to accept people. It was like a lot. But anyway, there was a lot of like really smart people there. But of course, smart people still like to party. So they had these dorms where like literally on the first floor, every single room on the weekend was like a party room. Mm. And all the doors were always open. There were like sometimes people just chilling in rooms. Other rooms had like a DJ in them, and like they would move shit and stack shit so people could go in there, dance, whatever.
Mm.
So, one thing about my T-Rose, friend T-Rose, he likes to drink.
Mm.
Like, he likes to drink. Back in the day, he was, like, drinking like crazy, you know? And he was just, like, a heavy drinker. And he would always drink shit straight.
Mm.
And, like, for me, I'm not much of a lighter drinker, because if I take shots and shit, like, this shit's gonna hit me quick. So I remember one time we went to a party and people were partying, and like, I tagged along. It was like me, him, and like, I think two other friends from college. And I remember I was like, man, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna take a shot. So we had poured like some Bacardi or some shit, took a shot. That's one. And then what happens over there, people are like, oh, y'all doing a shot? Let me take one with y'all. Here, take another one. Took another one. That's two. Bro, that must have gone on, I think, 8 more times. So I had like 10, 11, 12 shots. Bro, I blacked out. And I didn't remember what was happening. All I remember is I blacked out. Next morning, I woke up in my bed, still drunk. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I went to the cafeteria that was on campus, and I was like, I need to get something in my stomach. Ate something, but of course it didn't stay in there. I threw it up, whatever. And then I called my homie T-Rose. I was like, yo, what the fuck happened like yesterday? What happened? He's like, bruh, you got fucked up. And I was like, tell me, what did I do? What happened? He was saying that, like at some point I blacked out, but I was like, my subconscious had took over, and basically police had came and they were shutting down the party. And he was like, you know, they were like, hey, shut it down, shut it down. And then I think I was like, yo, I gotta go piss. Like, I gotta go piss. And he's like, all right, dude at the bush over there, don't go near the cops. And I went near the cops, and and I was doing it near the cops. And then, but I did it, and then I started running.
Did you just pee like out in the open?
No, it was like behind like one of their cars. Like I was right
behind a cop car.
Yeah, like right next to it. It's like right on my left or something. And I was just back there just handling the business. And then I took off running. And then like I think I took off running, and then I fell, and then I was basically like passed out, and they're like, bro, we gotta get him the fuck out of here. Wow. And so then they grabbed me, and they had to like basically like manhandle me to like the car, and they got me in the car, and then they made it back to my dorm. And then they're like, all right, we got to get him. What sucked for them though is at the time I lived on the 3rd floor of the dorm, and the elevator wasn't working, so they had to go up the steps with me. And so
I can't imagine taking you up 3 flights, bro, of stairs.
I know. Yeah. And so what ended up happening was they were carrying me back in, and I'm like passed out. They're like, man, this motherfucker, he got fucked up. And then another cop from our campus sees us. He's like, hey. And then they're like, hey, what's going on? They're like, is he all right? And they're like, yeah, he's fine. He just had a little too much. And they're like, don't let him drink like that no more. And then next thing you know, they get up to the room, and my roommate, who I was living with at the time, was there. And he's like, what's wrong with him? And he's like, bro, he got too drunk. Just, can you keep an eye on him? Keep a trash can next to him just in case. He's like, yeah, I got it. And then they literally threw me on the bed, and I'm just passed out. Yeah. And then my friend, my roommate was just like, bro, the whole night you were doing these cartoonish hiccups. I was like, ew. Like that the whole night. And then after that, I was like, I should stop drinking. But of course, next weekend, I just drank again.
Dang, bro. Yeah. Peed on a cop car and then ran.
Yep. Yep. It was crazy times, bro. I used to live a different lifestyle, but now I can't do that. Because we're a little older.
Now you read poetry.
I did that before. Then I did the drinking. Then I do it now. And then I started singing, and I was like, oh my God. But, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, well, that's probably the end of the podcast there.
That's the podcast.
This was an interesting podcast.
It was.
I don't know how people feel about it. Let us know what you guys think about the podcast. Drop a comment on our IG.
Was this better or worse?
Yeah, exactly. This is a survey. Think of that emoji that's got like the fingers underneath it thinking. Yeah. Like, what, you know, now, and then imagine a clipboard with it. But let us know what you think about it, man. What was I gonna say? We hope, man, that y'all have a great week. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Not All Here Podcast. You can also follow our personal IGs. Mine's It's Easy L. Jetty.
Mine is JRB the Producer. Also, follow our music group too if you want some dope music. It's Cool Ass People. Cool as PPL.
Exactly. And then also, man, make sure wherever you listen to this podcast, you know, subscribe to us, give us a review on Apple Podcasts if you listen to us there. It really helps us push the podcast more, trying to grow it. And other than that, man, we appreciate y'all for hanging with us, and we'll catch you on the next one. Yep.